Final hour here, Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys. It's finally time to get in. After 3 hours of virtually full phone lines on this discussion, it's been a lot of fun, by the way. And thank you to everybody that's participated, whether you've agreed with me or disagreed with me, whether you've called me horrific names on the text line and Twitter, or if you've called in and said nice things. I appreciate the participation tonight, as this is a discussion that I feel like, as much as I don't want to have it, I feel like it's necessary, especially in the climate in which we live in today. So room for you at 617-779-7937. We certainly can continue and will continue having this discussion if you guys have leftover thoughts, whether it's on the national anthem and how that has really lost its meaning and lost its impact, I think, when it comes to why we play it at sporting events. And because that meaning and impact has been lost, all it's done is create further discourse and a further divide, I feel like, between the two sides in this country. So why do we allow ourselves to continue to pollute? And why do we allow ourselves to continue to divide this country even further? If that's what it's doing, and if it's not unifying us any longer, then why do we bother continuing to play it at sporting events? And how that has sort of leaked into the next stage in this discussion, and that's what's happened to the Red Sox here in the last 48 to 72 hours. As your Boston Red Sox, they have accepted their invitation to go to the White House to visit President Trump and to celebrate with President Trump their winning of the World Series. Now, to me, the sin of that is you've got a team here that was incredible in October. Just a great story, an incredible story. I will never forget the night that they wrapped up the World Series, doing 3 hours of live TV with Steve Burton on Channel 4, then hauling ass to get here for 2 a.m. and taking your phone calls, which were lit up all night long from 2 to 6 a.m. That was 9 hours of Red Sox talk for a Celtics guy, and I could have done another 9 hours. It was that incredible. It was that awesome watching guys like Steve Pierce and David Price and Nathan Eovaldi overcome all these obstacles and all of these odds to ultimately capture the World Series. And as a Red Sox fan, I am still excited over it. I still, when I talk about it, the hair still stands up on my arms. And unfortunately, instead of that being the dominant part of the discussion as we make our way into December and eventually through Christmas here, I mean, we're 2 months away, that's it, from pitchers and catchers reporting. We should be looking forward to next season and looking back with appreciation on what happened last year. But instead, you've got a huge group of Red Sox fans unhappy and pissed off with this organization because of their decision to go visit the president. So why do we put ourselves in this position to begin with? Why did the Golden State Warriors and why did the Philadelphia Eagles have to put themselves in the position that they put themselves in, where they essentially decided not to go? And the president eventually disinvited the Eagles. It's ugly. It's not necessary. There's enough political divide and political hate in this country where it doesn't need to infect and intersect with the sports. It doesn't. We should be able to keep the two separate, because I go to sports for a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of stress relief in my life, a tiny bit of external happiness outside of my family, outside of work, outside of responsibilities, just a tiny escape, a tiny 2-hour vacation. And instead of it being that, it's been poisoned with politics, as politics has continued to poison our lives and take over our lives. And I feel like it's the perfect storm in the world in which we live in today, where the political divide is as wide as it's ever been, and social media is as impactful and as powerful as it's ever been. The two have created this dynamic powerhouse that we can't run away from. We can't avoid it. You've got people's opinions stuffed in your face, like it or not, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So why do I have to deal with it when I finally get to sit down in my lazy boy and watch a couple hours of a lousy football game or a lousy basketball game? I don't want to think about it then. I don't. But I'm forced to. So let's just separate it. Let's finally do away with the anthem at these live sporting events. Do away with it. Keep it for high school kids. Keep it for college kids. Keep it for them. But when it comes to the professionals, just do away with it. It's not worth the angst and the anger and the continued divide and the hate. And when it comes to these professional teams and the honor, quote unquote, of going to the White House, if they no longer consider it an honor, then why do we continue to do it? Just remove it from the equation. They can win their championships. They can go to Disneyland. They can do whatever they got to do. but let's just remove the White House variable from it. That way, we don't have to have this conversation. And regardless of who's sitting in the White House, these professional teams don't have to alienate 50% of their fans, because that's what's going to continue to happen here, regardless of who's occupying the White House at any given time. Look at President Bush. Look at President Clinton. Look at President Obama. And now look at President Trump. Look at their numbers. The country was split down the middle with all of them. And that's not changing. That's not going away. So no matter who wins, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, doesn't matter. World Series, NBA Championship, Stanley Cup, doesn't matter. Whatever decision that that team makes, whether to go to the White House or not, you are going to alienate and piss off 50% of your fans. It's not a good business decision either. So let's do what's right for our peace of mind. Let's do what's right for business, and let's remove the anthem and remove the invitation to the White House from the equation. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Maine. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing, Patrick?
Good, Paul. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Colin Kaepernick was just unfortunate with his time that he tried to do his little protest there.
What do you mean by the time?
I think those guys make a lot of money. Do you think they could just pull it together and do a halftime show or some special on TV, something?
The thought was, and you're probably right here, but the thought was, it's the national anthem, so the stadium's going to be quiet, right? And it's the one time where if somebody's doing something sort of unique and out of turn, it will get noticed. That was the original goal. You know, that's the time where you're going to maybe notice something that you wouldn't notice during the action of a game. Where I think Kaepernick went wrong, and where I think the whole movement went wrong, was using Kaepernick as the linchpin, using Kaepernick as the guy, because unfortunately he's not well-spoken enough, and he's not eloquent enough to get his message across effectively. So while he took the knee and he had a good intention by taking the knee, the message was never delivered effectively as to why he was taking the knee.
Right, because those things went on, and still go on today without the protests, you know what I mean?
I do, and that's why when the president decided to use it as an opportunity to politicize it, and really, it spun out of control because, Trump used it, and he sort of, he told the country his thinking behind it and what he thought that it meant, and that became the interpretation of the country, that's what Kaepernick meant, and really, that wasn't what he meant at all. He wasn't trying to disrespect the flag or disrespect the military. He was looking to capitalize on a quiet time at a football game where it was going to get noticed. And unfortunately, right, though, it spun out of control, and it became a political prop for the president. And by the way, I don't blame Trump. No matter who was in the White House, they were going to use it as a political prop.
Yeah, they were. You're right.
But this has been going on for a long time, Paul. I mean, during the crossover that I had with Rob Radford earlier, he brought up, we were talking about the Big Three basketball league that plays in the summer. And there's a guy in that league, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, also goes by the name of Chris Jackson. He's about 50 years old now, and he's dominating that league. But I bring him up because back in the mid-90s, he played for the Denver Nuggets. And with that name, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, you can imagine his affiliation. And he turned his back to the national anthem and turned his back to the flag. And it was a story for like a day, and it went away. And right, that's just not the world we live in any longer. This thing has lingered on for years now with Kaepernick.
A lot of times on TV, they don't even show the national anthem back in the old days. So, just boom.
Yeah, you're right.
Was on.
You're right, Paul. You're absolutely right. And I feel like they're doing that now again, and they're not showing the national anthem. I mean, think about tuning into a Celtics game. You very rarely, unless it's the playoffs, do you catch the national anthem on TV. Now, I know the Bruins, because they had their anthem singer, a lot of times that got on TV. But, this year he's gone, so they're not showing it on TV nearly as much. And in the NFL, because of all the issues, they're really getting away from showing it on TV as well. So what's the point of doing it? Why are we even bothering with the anthem any longer at these live professional sporting events? What purpose does it serve? Maybe we reserve it for playoff games. Maybe we reserve it for championship games where the game has additional meaning and there's more eyeballs tuning in. That way it has more of an impact. But just like anything else, if you say the same thing over and over and over again, it loses its meaning, it loses its impact, and it's sort of just background noise. That's the facts. Whether you like it or not, That's the facts. I can't tell you how many times, you know, my daughter, for she's 11, so for 8 or 9 years, it's her responsibility to do the blessing at dinner. And when she was younger and she didn't really know it, took a longer amount of time, and, you know, she had to get the words right, and she took her time, and there was more meaning behind it. Now it's a race to get the blessing finished so we can sit down and have our meal. And whether that's right or wrong, after so many years, words lose their meaning. And maybe I'm a bad parent because I haven't transferred that responsibility to my son yet, so it can get back to having meaning, at least in the short term, until it becomes additional background noise for him as well. But you get my point here. If you have the national anthem going 162 games a year for the Red Sox times, what, 32 Major League Baseball teams, how many thousands of times? I mean, real quick, get my calculator out of my phone here. I should be able to do this in my head, but I'm on the radio and I'm not a genius. So let's just do this real quick. 162 times 32, this doesn't include exhibition or postseason, that's 5,184 times the anthem's being played. That's one sport, one season, no exhibition games, no playoff games. It becomes background noise and loses its meaning. But if we reserve it for playoff games, if we reserve it for the All-Star game, if we reserve it for finals games, World Series games, then suddenly it has a much larger impact, much larger meaning, and we get out of the minutiae of the BS of a discussion like this. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is Late Night. When we come back, there is room for you at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio at WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy here for the next half an hour or so as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And really, we've spent a good part of the program tonight talking about, you know, sports and politics and the intersection of the two, and how I feel like as a country, we're simply not at a place any longer. We're not mature enough any longer. The hate and the discord between the two sides is too extreme to continue going down this road. And I feel like politics has really not only intersected with sports, it's polarized sports to an extent and a level where I'm not comfortable with it any longer, because I'm now stuck dealing with political discussions and political talk while I'm trying to relax and enjoy my sports. And the two don't go hand in hand any longer to me. The two have really got to find some separation, because I use the two for two entirely different things in my life, and I know I can't be alone here, where politics, like it or not, can be very stressful. It really can be. It creates a tremendous amount of anxiety for people, a tremendous amount of hate for people. It really does. Where sports is something that should be unifying. Fan base should be able to come together and celebrate the accomplishments of their team. And what really brought this discussion, you know, front and center was the Red Sox decision to go to the White House. And by the way, I have no problem with their decision to go. I don't. I'm not like John Tomasi. He and I share a political affiliation, but I'm not like him where I think they made the wrong decision to go. I just wish that there wasn't a decision to begin with, because I don't feel like going to the White House is nearly the honor that it once was. It clearly it's not, because these players are more than willing to walk away from that quote-unquote honor. Look at the Warriors, look at the Eagles, and I promise you a good percentage of Red Sox players won't go to the White House either. And it's not just about President Trump. This has been getting worse and worse over the last 10 or 15 years. It really has. And it's not going to get much better. So if it's no longer considered an honor by the players, and it's something that's going to continue to divide these fan bases, why are we doing it? It's exhausting to talk about. You know, as an NBA guy, I had to talk about it with the Warriors for weeks. And as a guy that does local sports radio here in Boston, I'm telling you, when I was doing TV with Burton the night that the Red Sox won the World Series, within 45 minutes of them winning the World Series, the discussion already started on the air of whether they would accept the invitation to go to the White House. I'm tired of it. It doesn't work for me any longer, because no matter how I feel, no matter what I say, I'm going to piss off 50% of the people that are listening to me, because we're no longer capable as a society, as a fan base, as Bostonians, as Americans, as human beings, to look at the other side with enough respect to understand their point of view, understand their perspective, maybe learn something from the other side, bring the two sides together, and get the best from both worlds, which is why we've got the two-party system to begin with. So if we can't handle the responsibility of sports and politics intersecting, then let's remove the responsibility off the table. That way we can at least get back to enjoying sports for what it's supposed to be. So if you've got leftover thoughts on that, by all means, 617-779-7937. I do want to get into this Red Sox discussion here when it comes to actual players on the field, okay? Because if you've been listening to the program tonight and you caught the trending, you know that the Red Sox appear to be inching closer to a deal with Nathan Eovaldi. Now, the rumored numbers right now are 4 years at $17 million a year. Now, we all assumed he was going to get paid. You know, I think we estimated somewhere around $15 million, so $17 million, not all that far off. The issue that we've got here is this, and the Red Sox, clearly, I think, if they do give Nathan Eovaldi a deal in this realm of this reported $17 million a year over 4 years, I feel like they're making the decision right now that they are not going to extend Chris Sale, because I don't see a way that they can find a way to give Nathan Eovaldi this type of deal, and then at the end of next season, when Chris Sale is due for an extension, pay him the type of money that he is going to be offered in the open market. So unless Sale is willing to take an extreme hometown discount, or unless Chris Sale goes out this year and is abysmal and is awful and is no longer a viable pitcher, he is going to get blown away with offers, because he is still, despite the fact that he tends to break down at the end of the season, he is still a very marketable guy. He is still somebody that has electric stuff, and he is still somebody that puts himself in the Cy Young conversation, despite the fact that teams have not figured out a way to minimize the impact on his arm in the first 4 or 5 months of the season so he can actually be healthy going into September and October. And the Red Sox tried. Alex Cora tried. They put their best effort in this year, minimizing his role, minimizing his innings earlier on in the season, hopefully to have some bullets left in that gun for later on in the season. And we saw what happened after the All-Star break. You know, he hits the DL, comes off the DL, 12 strikeouts in 5 innings, swelling the next day, goes back on the DL, was never the same again. Now, he had some moments in the postseason, certainly closing out the final game was a big moment for him, but that wasn't the role that the Red Sox are paying him for. The role the Red Sox are paying him for is to be the ace of this staff. And somehow, by some miracle, David Price stepped up and became the ace that he was never able to step up and become in postseasons past. And if David Price hadn't done the unthinkable, then the Red Sox probably don't win the World Series. And if Nathan Eovaldi didn't sort of appear out of nowhere this postseason, the Red Sox don't win the World Series. So those two guys, David Price and Nathan Eovaldi, had a much larger impact on the Red Sox winning the World Series this year than Chris Sale did. But that doesn't minimize, that doesn't diminish who Chris Sale is and how much money he is going to get when his contract comes up at the end of next year. So as Red Sox fans, and I find this fascinating, as Red Sox fans, you know the team's philosophy for the most part. When it comes to signing pitchers over 30, they do make exceptions. Look no further than David Price. But for the most part, they don't like to give this type of giant money to guys north of 30. And the David Price experience may further solidify their stance there. But are you comfortable if the Red Sox opt to give Nathan Eovaldi 4 years at $17 million a year, knowing full well that this will be Chris Sale's final year in a Red Sox uniform? Is that okay with you, letting Chris Sale walk in favor of Nathan Eovaldi? Or would you guys rather, would Red Sox fans rather the team not sign Eovaldi? That way they've got the money to extend Chris Sale. So essentially it boils down to who is going to have the brighter future. Not who is better right now, not who is better in the past, not who has the better resume, but who is going to be better for the foreseeable future, have more of an impact on winning in the foreseeable future. Is it Chris Sale or is it Nathan Eovaldi? And I feel like it's Nathan Eovaldi. I do. And I understand how good Chris Sale is, how great Chris Sale is. His God-given talent exceeds that of Nathan Eovaldi. It does. Chris Sale at his best, he is a top two, top three pitcher in Major League Baseball. But ultimately, what value does he bring? Does he bring that much value because he's dominant in April and May and June and the first half of July? Is that really what we're paying this guy for? Is that really why you would potentially walk away from paying Nathan Eovaldi so you can have a dominant starter for 3 or 4 months? Does that really excite us? Because to me, it doesn't. It doesn't excite me at all. It frustrates the hell out of me knowing you have a guy that has limited bullets in that arm. And we still have not found a way to maximize his ability to be dominant when it matters the most. So what the hell are we doing here with this guy? Right? So if you've got to choose between the two, and ultimately, I think they do. I've gone over the math a few times, and it doesn't equate. I don't know how they get there. I don't know how they make these decisions at the end of next year. Because don't forget, other guys need to get paid too. Mookie Betts, he's going to see something close to a $300 million deal. Unless he falls off the side of the planet this year. And I don't think he's going to do that. All right? J.D. Martinez, if he has a year that's 80% as good as he was this year, guess what? At the end of next year, he's opting out of his deal. So he can maximize his financial value one last time out there. Don't forget, he's over 30 as well. He's got limited opportunities left to get huge deals. So if he has a year similar to what he had this past year, next year, you better believe he's opting out. And he'll have an opportunity to make more money. So you've got these guys that are impactful franchise-type players that are going to need to get paid. And the Red Sox have major, major, major decisions to make at the end of next season. And one of those guys they've got to make a decision on is Chris Sale. Now, to me, you can only put so much money into your pitching staff. It's the most important thing on your team. It is. But you can only extend so much money to your pitching staff when you know that you've got to try to find a way to retain a guy like J.D. Martinez and try to retain a guy like Mookie Betts. So decisions have to be made ahead of time. And right now, they've got to make a choice when it comes to Nathan Eovaldi. So if you pay Nathan Eovaldi the rumored deal, 4 years, $17 million a year, are you ultimately sacrificing your ability to re-sign Chris Sale? And is that the right move? And I feel like a lot of people, including guys like Rob Bradford, would opt to keep a guy like Chris Sale around. I'm just not the optimistic guy that I used to be when I was strictly just a fan. I have seen guys, and that's why I worry about a guy like Gordon Hayward. The optimist in me, the Celtics fan in me, says, no, he's young, he's 27, he'll be back at full force. You know, sometime January, February, Gordon Hayward will return to Utah Jazz Gordon Hayward form. But he might not. All right, the skeptic in me, the pessimist in me worries about that. But the difference here between the two is that Gordon Hayward's 27 years old, and he still has youth on his side. And that's the most important thing here. He's got youth on his side. He's still got a good 7 or 8 years left in the NBA, and he's under 30, so his body's going to heal better. Chris Sale's had this problem going back 5-6 years. He had this problem going back to, 2012, 2013 with the White Sox, where his arm was wearing out at the end of the season. And it blows my mind that no doctor, no trainer, no team, no staff has found a way to avoid this inevitable situation that comes up with Chris Sale every year. You're talking about some of the best doctors and trainers on the planet that are employed by Major League Baseball and these teams. And yet nobody has been able to come up with a plan to keep him healthy when it matters the most. So what makes us naive enough to think that next year is going to be the year? And for the next 3 or 4 years, you know what? That was a problem of the past. Much like David Price couldn't figure it out in October, he figured it out this year. So there's no reason to believe that Chris Sale won't be able to figure it out next year. And the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. But the difference is one was mental for David Price, and one is physical for Chris Sale. And I don't know how, as he gets older, that physical problem heals itself. I don't know how it gets better. So I feel more comfortable as a Red Sox fan extending Nathan Eovaldi, even if it means giving up the prospect of potentially re-signing and extending Chris Sale at the end of next season. And as a Red Sox fan, by the way, these are the discussions that I would much rather be having. How do you build your team back up to maintain their status as a World Series contender, knowing that you're going to lose some pieces? There's no getting around the fact that your closer is gone. There's no getting around the fact that Joe Kelly might be gone. There's no getting around the fact that at the end of next season, there are franchise-altering players on your roster that need to get paid. So all season long, while talking about the Red Sox here, I told you this was a limited window. And some Red Sox fans agreed and some didn't, because there is a tremendous amount of young talent on this team, but the time is coming up where some of that young talent is going to need to get paid. And because of mistakes and sins of Red Sox past, they don't have the kind of financial flexibility that you would like to see them have in order to extend and overpay some of their own players. So the decisions that they make right now have to be financially responsible and have to be financially prudent. And giving a guy like Chris Sale-type money, I don't think is responsible or prudent, given the fact that we know, almost beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know what's going to happen to him the second half of the season. Matter of fact, if I were a betting man, I would put it all on the fact that he is going to get shut down sometime next year between the All-Star break and the 1st of August. I'd bet it all. Because history generally repeats itself, and nobody's been able to figure this thing out yet. So what makes you think they're going to figure it out now as he gets older? Pay Nathan Eovaldé, enjoy the last year of Chris Sale, and let him go. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up right here on Late Night Sports Radio WEI. Final segment here, Late Night Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys. At the end of this full four-hour extravaganza, and I got to say, you guys were awesome tonight. Whether you agree or disagree with me, the dialogue back and forth, that's what we live for. That's what I do this for. I love hearing from the other side. And I love the fact that, you know, because I feel like the people that interacted with the show tonight are mature enough to have that discourse and have that conversation, we really had the ability to, I think, listen to and respect one another in a way that we generally are unable to do when we're talking about politics in this country. So maybe, just maybe, you guys out there set the tone for what should be a season of change, in my opinion, here. And maybe it can start with the Red Sox. Maybe it can. Maybe it can start with this Red Sox trip to the White House. And maybe someday we'll look back at this Red Sox trip and realize and recognize that maybe that's the trip that started to change the conversation back into the other direction. Because if things continue to go down this road where everybody's got this damn opinion and nobody is willing to listen to a dissenting opinion, then this country, I'm sorry, is going to fall into the abyss. Because one side isn't right all the time and one side isn't wrong all the time. And it's that mentality that has broken this country. And it's that mentality that has continued to divide us. And if you think that we are a stronger country divided than we are unified, then I'm sorry, you're sadly mistaken. It's not working for me anymore. This cross pollution, you know, and that's what it is, really. It's this cross pollution of politics into the sporting world. So again, you know, my belief, and this is not something that I came up with tonight. This is something that I've thought long and hard about. If you guys are avid listeners of the program, it's not the first time I've mentioned the possibility of eliminating or saving the national anthem at these live sporting events, these live professional sporting events, for larger games, World Series games, NBA Finals games, maybe playoff games. But it loses its meaning and loses its impact. And again, we did the math here. We chose one sport. So one sport, Major League Baseball, 162 games a year times 30-some-odd teams, it's between 5,000 and 6,000 times that the anthem gets played over the course of one Major League Baseball season. What's the point? Doesn't it lose its meaning after some time of playing it over and over and over again? And it becomes almost background noise, and that's a sin because that's not what it was meant to be. And unfortunately, that background noise, because of Colin Kaepernick and other people that have decided to use it as a platform to get their political point across, that background noise has continued to pollute politics into sports. And there's no reason for the two to be attached at the hip. There isn't. They should be completely divided, in my opinion, because one is very real. Politics, like it or hate it, is very real, and it has a real and legitimate impact on our daily lives, on our future, on our money. I mean, really, politics has a direct and immediate impact daily on your 401k. It does. It has a direct and immediate impact daily on your price of heating oil and gasoline. It has a direct and immediate impact on the amount of taxes taken out of your paycheck. It's very, very real. And sports isn't. It's not fake. It's not fictional. It's not, you know, it's not the WWE. But as much as it sucks when the Celtics lose a playoff game, it doesn't affect my real life. It's where I go to escape from my real life. And you shouldn't have this intersection of the two when one is very real and one has no real impact especially when we can't handle it. We're not mature enough to handle that cross-section of the two, that cross-pollination of the two, or that cross-pollution of the two. This country, we in this country, have proven that we're not mature enough to pull it off. We can't do it. So why bother doing it any longer? Why bother continuing to divide us even further? Why bother continuing to go down this abyss? It doesn't make any sense to me. So again, my easy solution here, and whether you like it or not, it will make things more peaceful, and it will make us get back to enjoying sports for what it was meant to be. Easy solution here. If you can't handle it, we'll treat the country the same way I treat my 8-year-old. Santa brought him a computer last year. He couldn't handle it. So in April, we took it away. We gave him a list of things that he had to do to earn it back. And he's come close a handful of times. But guess what? That computer is still sitting in the closet. He proved that he couldn't handle it. So that's it. It's gone. We've proven that we can't handle the anthem. We've proven that we can't handle our teams being invited to the White House. Because 50% of Red Sox Nation is upset with the team right now. The team that just won the World Series, for God's sakes. So if we can't handle it, if we're not mature enough to pull it off, sayonara. Goodbye. It's off the table. We'll just get back to playing the games. It is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. And the good news for you is I'm back again tomorrow. And hell, I'm back the day after that as well. Talk to you guys tomorrow night. Bye-bye.